From claims of healings and visions to the world's most inexplicable events, whether you're a believer or a skeptic, the truth is always worth the hunt.
EWTN Radio presents The Miracle Hunter with Michael O'Neill.
Welcome to The Miracle Hunter Radio Show on EWTN Radio. This is Michael O'Neill. I'm The Miracle Hunter. I hope everyone out there is staying warm. Things aren't so warm these days here in Chicago where I am, but hopefully some of these stories of saints and miracles will warm your heart a little bit, if nothing else. And we're excited today to talk about a new project that's coming out. I was excited to learn about this very recently. Of course, people know me from my work on Marian apparitions, and my website, miraclehunter.com, details many of the Marian apparitions throughout history, and my program, Explore with the Miracle Hunter, which airs every Saturday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, talks about various Marian apparitions and other miracles. And so I was excited to see another project. Philip Kozlowski from Voyage Comics has put together a new comic series called Messages of Our Lady, where he details some of the famous Marian apparitions throughout history. Issue number one, related to Our Lady of Mount Carmel, is that's their first one. They're out of the gate with that one. And we'll be talking with Philip later in the program about his plans for this series. We'll also be talking with one of our favorite guests today. That's Lenora McKean. She's from the Bishop Berga Association, looking at the canonization cause of Bishop Frederick Berga. He's one of my favorite might-be saints. He's a venerable, and there's a miracle that's been attributed to his intercession that's being investigated, I believe, currently in Rome right now. So we'll be looking for an update from Lenora today, and we'll be celebrating the feast day, or the death anniversary, you might say, the future feast day of Bishop Berga. Later in the show, we'll be talking about programs that you can connect to. And of course, you can always check out my series, They Might Be Saints. Bishop Frederick Berga, that episode of They Might Be Saints airs on Wednesday, the 22nd at 9 a.m. Eastern Time. And we'll talk more about him today. But he was the one who was trekking across Michigan's wilderness that earned him the title the Snowshoe Priest. His heroic virtue has brought the gospel to Native Americans and immigrant miners, and it may also earn Bishop Frederick Berga sainthood. So check that one out. That's Wednesday on the 22nd at 9 a.m. Eastern Time. And my other program, Explore with the Miracle Hunter, on Saturdays, this Saturday on January 25th at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, Explore with the Miracle Hunter in from New Orleans. We'll be looking at Our Lady of Prompt Succor, which has inspired Catholics during the darkest periods in New Orleans history, including a disastrous fire and British attack during the War of 1812. I'll be investigating that. And we talked about that on a recent program a week or two. We talked with the executive director of the shrine there of Our Lady of Prompt Succor. So if you were interested in that interview, you can watch that program, Explore with the Miracle Hunter, on EWTN. Later in the show, we're going to be looking at the might-be saint of the day, Blessed Regina Protman, from 1552 to 1613. The 365 Days with Mary Project, we always look at the Marian devotion of the day. For today's date, we've got Our Lady of the Expectation from Zapopan in Mexico in 1541. And the question of the week, where was the greatest miracle in the history of the United States? That's a hard one. I'll do my best to try to answer that one later. And the miracle of the day is the second apparition of Our Lady at Bennu on January 18th, 1933. And for those people who want to go on pilgrimage, you can join me. I'll be going on pilgrimage to Florence, Milan, Turin, and Rome. We'll be going at the end of July, beginning of August, for the canonization of Pier Giorgio Frassati. For more information on this pilgrimage, you can go to pilgrimages.com/miraclehunter. Let's take a look at the miracle news. We do this every week where we talk about the things happening all around the world that relate to miracles and miracles themselves. Well, there was a big procession in the Philippines this past week that drew a crowd of 8 million people. Perhaps that number is a bit of a miracle, but the statue, this Black Nazarene, is known locally to be miraculous. So the 2025 iteration of this traditional translation was the largest since the procession was canceled during the pandemic, and the annual procession of the Black Nazarene, known as Translacion, or the Transfer, drew an enormous crowd of faithful to the Philippines' capital, Manila. It was the largest iteration in recent years of a tradition that reaches all the way back to the 15th century. And the Catholic bishops of the Philippines estimated that some 8 million faithful came to escort the centuries-old statue of Jesus Christ called the Black Nazarene from Quirino to Quapo Church. And with so many in the streets and so many trying to get close enough to the statue to touch the glass, the entire affair took nearly 21 hours from 4:40 a.m. Thursday morning until 1:25 a.m. on Friday. And if you look at video of the event online, you can see why it took as long as it did. With so many people in the streets, they're shoulder to shoulder, even those carrying this float or this carrying box with the image on top, they could only go inch by inch on this very long route. And 8 million people in attendance, it eclipsed that of last year by nearly 2 million and was by far the largest since at least the pandemic. So you can go to miraclehunter.com. You can go to the Facebook page. I've got a video posted of this event. You can see the great devotion of the Philippine people to the Black Nazarene. Let's take a look at Catholic Pub Trivia. We do this every week where we ask a trivia question, give out a prize for an emailer that writes in with the fastest with the correct answer. Last week, we talked about Canada. And so we had a question related to Canada last week. Which Marian title is the patroness of Canada? And that, of course, is Notre Dame du Cap. So we're grateful to everybody who wrote in with that answer. And this week we're talking about Venerable Bishop Berga, someone who is on the path to sainthood from Michigan. He's a venerable, so he needs to get his miracles before he goes from blessed into saint. But who is the only person from Michigan who is currently a blessed? And so again, we're talking about Bishop Berga of Michigan today. But who is the only person from Michigan who is a blessed? If you think you know that answer and want to win the prize, the image of the faces of Mary, send me an email to questions@miraclehunter.com, and maybe you'll be winning that prize. And answers and winners will be posted on the show page on miraclehunter.com. We need to take a short break, but when we come back, we're going to be talking with Philip Kozlowski from Voyage Comics about his new comic book series, Messages of Our Lady. Stay with us for that.
Now, back to the Miracle Hunter on EWTN. Here's Michael O'Neill.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Miracle Hunter radio show on EWTN Radio. This is Michael O'Neill. I'm the Miracle Hunter. People who listen to this show, or maybe even more so, know my website, know that Marian apparitions are something that have been of great interest of mine from the very beginning, since the launch of that miraclehunter.com website, where I've tried to catalog as many Marian apparitions as I can throughout world history. And we have as many as 2,500 that have been claimed and reported, perhaps even larger numbers than that, but a much smaller number that have been investigated and validated by the Catholic Church. And as of this past year, we see some new norms coming out, how the Catholic Church actually gives its approval to the supernaturality of these claims of Mary walking amongst us. And so we talk about some of the great cases throughout history. And of course, we can talk about those since 1545, those cases where we see the Catholic Church doing a full-on investigation and a declaration of supernaturality. But then there are other cases that happened before that time period coming down to us through tradition and some of these great stories that have been told of Mary in Europe and otherwise. And one of those great stories is Our Lady of Mount Carmel. That, of course, relates to the Brown Scapular, those visions that have been attributed to St. Simon Stock. Well, we're so excited because there's a brand new project that's out related to Marian apparitions, and there have been articles online written about this, and I was so excited to see this taking shape. And it's from Voyage Comics, and we've featured some of those on this show before with Philip Kozlowski, the founder and the creator of that. And there's this new series that's underway, Messages from Our Lady. So we're so excited today to talk to Philip again. Welcome back to the show, Philip.
Thanks for having me again.
That's great to have you back. And of course, this is of great interest to me. I think this is such a great project, these Messages of Our Lady. Issue number one, you dedicate to St. Simon Stock and those visions of Our Lady of the Brown Scapular, Our Lady of Mount Carmel. Talk to us a little bit how you started off with this idea and why you decided to start with the Brown Scapular.
Sure, yeah. So one of our kind of intentions with our comics is both to teach and inspire. And we found that comic books are such a great way to teach, especially young children, in the kind of a visual story-driven way about kind of stories of the faith. And last year we kind of started a series on the miracles of the Eucharist, and then this year we decided to start a series on various apparitions of Our Lady, and also to help kind of explain some of the various like sacramentals that we have in the Catholic Church. So the brown scapular being one of the most popular ones kids will learn about, especially kind of, it's a pretty big tradition around First Communion that children would be given a brown scapular. And so we thought it'd be a great way to kind of delve a little bit into the history behind it and to show kind of where the brown scapular developed, kind of portraying these various stories that have been passed down to us.
Wonderful. And for those people who don't know, I think everybody's heard of Our Lady of Mount Carmel, but not everybody is quite familiar with it being an apparition story. Talk to us about how the tradition goes anyway, related to St. Salmon's Stock.
Sure, yeah. So it really is kind of a fascinating history, just kind of how the Carmelites in general, kind of trace their kind of spiritual lineage to Elijah and hermits that live on what is Mount Carmel in Jerusalem, and then how that kind of same community in Jerusalem was then kind of, because of the wars in Jerusalem, kind of like all the Crusades, kind of put into exile, and so they ended up in England, and how kind of during a difficult time Our Lady appeared to St. Simon's Stock and gave him the scapular, and then that became kind of the habit of Carmelites that we know today, and then eventually became was reduced in size so that lay people could also wear it.
Wonderful. And if we talk about sort of the theme of this series, or at least the title is Messages from Our Lady. We don't necessarily have any recording of the messages as we might at Fatima or some of these very modern apparitions. But when we talk about the messages of the Brown Scapular or Our Lady of Mount Carmel, what is the message that she gives to us or gives to St. Simon Stock when she bestows this this sacramental on him?
Sure. I think one of the hallmarks of the scapular is just kind of trust in Our Lady, trust in God, and also just kind of faithfulness throughout any trial or tribulation. With all the different various stories that have been told about people who've worn the brown scapular, it's not like a lucky charm or something that you wear to preserve your soul to get to heaven, but it's to help informing you kind of a habit of prayer, a habit of trust in God, and looking to Our Lady in every time of need. And so that's kind of, one of the themes that I see coming from the scapular.
There has been this tradition that those people who wear the brown scapular devotedly at their time of death, they will be spared hell. And so talk to us a little bit about what you know about the tradition related to the Sabbatine privilege.
Sure, yeah. So when it comes to the scapular, I think sometimes it can be misconstrued or thought of as kind of like a lucky charm, where if you just wear this piece of cloth that you'll kind of go straight to heaven. But at least what I kind of view it as, and kind of St. John Paul II said this as well, that wearing the scapular kind of invites the grace of God into your life, and And the hope is that kind of wearing the habit will kind of develop a habit of prayer so that you'll draw closer to God through His Blessed Mother. And that'll be just kind of a constant reminder of the graces that God wants to give to you.
Wonderful. No, I think that's a great great outlook on the Brown Scapular. And, of course, issue number one for your series, Messages from Our Lady, is dedicated to the Brown Scapular and the apparitions to St. Simon Stock. What does the future hold for this series of comic books?
Sure, yeah. So, it is supposed to be a series, so we are going to be looking at kind of what is the next Marian apparition that we want to investigate. And one other thing I just wanted to point out is, so we kind of frame the story of these apparitions within a kind of a modern story, so kind of a middle school brother and sister, and we kind of situated them kind of purposefully in or around kind of Green Bay, Wisconsin, as kind of a nod to the apparitions at Our Lady of Champion. And so, you know, so at some point we'll probably feature that apparition in our series, but we're still kind of in the beginning phases of figuring out what will be the next apparition that we want to investigate.
Wonderful. And I know that Voyage Comics has featured various saints and other miraculous kind of phenomena. And do you have any other projects coming up related to saints or otherwise?
Sure. Yeah. So our after this comic, we're kind of finishing up a comic book on Saint Teresa of Lisieux, The Little Flower, and we hope that'll be released in the next few months as well.
Wonderful. Well, we're so grateful to you, Philip Kozlowski from Voyage Comics, for joining us on today's program. And for those people who want to find out more, perhaps want to get a copy of this new issue number one, Messages of Our Lady, where's the best place that people can go?
Sure. The best place is our website, and just go to voyagecomics.com.
Wonderful. Well, we're grateful for you putting in your effort to create this series for young people. We hope it takes off and encourage people to check this thing out at voyagecomics.com. Thanks so much, Philip Kozlowski, for joining us on today's program.
Yeah. Thanks for having me, Michael.
God bless. That was Philip Kozlowski talking to us again about Voyage Comics. Pretty exciting from my point of view. I've always been so excited about Marian apparitions and in those cases throughout history that the church has judged to be authentic and supernatural. And he's starting things off really well with issue number one, Our Lady of the Brown Scapular at Mount Carmel. So we're grateful to Philip for joining us on today's program. We need to take a short break, but when we come back, we're going to be looking at the question of the week. Stay with us for that.
Now, back to the Miracle Hunter on EWTN. Here's Michael O'Neill.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Miracle Hunter radio show on EWTN Radio. This is Michael O'Neill. I'm the Miracle Hunter. Hey, I love getting your questions. People write in from around the world with questions about miracles happening in today's world and those that have happened centuries ago. And I got a very big question that I'm not sure I can give the answer to, but I'll give it a shot at least. People who write in, they ask me questions on an email. They also ask me questions when I give presentations. I travel around the country maybe 20 times per year, going to different Catholic parishes or shrines or different Catholic conferences, and I speak at those events. And I love getting questions after the conference. I'll give my talk for about 45 minutes and then try to answer it. But for people who want to invite me to their parish or conference, you can go to miraclehunter.com and click on the contact tab. And you can send me a message that way, and maybe I'll be speaking at a parish near you sometime soon. And so the question for this week was, what is the greatest miracle in the history of the United States? Thank you, Jennifer. Well, that's a hard question, Jennifer, and I'm grateful to try to answer that question. And I think, you know, we can talk about any of these cases of miraculous healings related to canonization causes. We've had as many as something like 30 cases of healing miracles that have been used in beatifications and canonizations. And, you know, we have cases like in the case of St. Catherine Drexel, healing of deafness, or one that wasn't a canonization miracle, but one in Arizona, St. Charbel, was a healing of blindness. So we see these very dramatic healing cases, and even Vera Calandra, this case of healing through Padre Pio, is truly amazing that we featured in Miracles of Padre Pio. So can we point to just one? Perhaps not, but there was another miracle, and I know in Hobbs, New Mexico, perhaps a couple of years ago now, we saw the weeping statue of Our Lady of Guadalupe there in Hobbs, New Mexico. But there was a case in the 1980s called the Seton Miracles, where there was not just one weeping statue, but it was an entire church full of weeping statues, and the stigmata of the parish priest there, Father James Bruce. And the Catholic Church hasn't done a lot with this case. There hasn't been a big proclamation of authenticity or anything of the sort. The investigation seems to have been dropped at some point, but perhaps this was the greatest, largest, I don't know, most comprehensive miracle that we've ever seen here in the history of the United States, called the Seton Miracle. So maybe that's the most famous one, or the biggest one. But, you know, anytime there's a miracle, we talk about Our Lady of Prompt Succor. We talked about her in the Battle of 1812 and that incredible miracle that happened there. And so we have different miracle stories throughout the history of the United States, but it's pretty hard to pick the best one. But I'd say for somebody who's interested in some kind of unexplained phenomena that was on kind of a big scale, we would look at the Seton Miracles. So thank you, Jennifer, for your question. And if you have a question for the Miracle Hunter, you can send me an email to questions@miraclehunter.com, and maybe I'll be answering your question on the air next week. Let's take a look at the 365 Days with Mary project. We do this every week, where we look at the Marian devotion of the day as it lines up exactly to the day's date. We all know Fatima May 13th, or Lourdes February 11th, or Guadalupe December 12th, but believe it or not, there's a different Marian devotion for each and every day of the calendar year. And so for today's day, we've got Our Lady of the Expectation of Zapopan in Mexico in the year 1541. And the Virgin of Zapopan is venerated as the patron of Jalisco and the city of Guadalajara, and is likewise recognized throughout all of Mexico. The Franciscan Fray Antonio de Segovia, who had baptized thousands of Indians in the years following the miraculous Guadalupan events in 1541, gave the statue to the new mission of Nuestra Señora de la Concepción de Zapopan, near present-day Guadalajara. After she interceded for the region with the plague of 1653, popular piety increased, and she wears the sky blue sash of a 19th century general with a scepter and staff, and she's known as La Generala. And January 18th, 1921, Archbishop Francisco Orozco y Jimenez, he crowned the Queen of Jalisco, and her feast day is October 12th, and that is Our Lady of the Expectation of Zapopan from Mexico in the year 1541. For more information about the Marian devotions around the world, you can go to 365dayswithmary.com, pick up the book, download the app from the iOS App Store, or connect to the Facebook page and join any of the 10,000 followers who get a new title of Mary each and every day of the calendar year. Let's take a look at the miracle of the day. We do this every week, where we talk about a miracle happening at some point in Christian history that lines up exactly to today's date, and today is January 18th. So on January 18th, 1933, during the second apparition at Benu in Belgium, the Virgin Mary appeared to 11-year-old Mariette Becco, identifying herself as the Virgin of the Poor, and she instructed Mariette to put your hands in the water of a nearby spring, stating, "The fountain is reserved for me." And this event initiated the Marian devotion to Our Lady of Benu, also known as Our Lady of the Poor. And these apparitions, which continued to March 2, 1933, emphasized themes of compassion for the suffering and the importance of prayer. And the site has become a significant pilgrimage destination, attracting those seeking solace and healing. And that is today's miracle of the day. And if we look at sainthood news, we always try to connect to the project They Might Be Saints, where we look at people on the path to sainthood, the venerables, blesseds, before they have all their miracles and are declared saints in Rome. And so we always try to keep you up to date on those people coming down the pipeline. So last month, the Holy Father, Pope Francis, received in audience His Eminence Cardinal Marcello Semeraro, the prefect for the Dicastery for the Causes of Saints. And during this audience, the Supreme Pontiff confirmed the conclusions of the ordinary sessions of cardinals and bishops, members, and the Dicastery, and decided to make a declaration regarding the heroic virtues of the servant of God, Giuseppe Maria Leoni, a professed priest of the Congregation of the Most Holy Redeemer, born on May 23, 1829, in Casal Trinita, now in Italy, and died in Angri, in Italy, on August 9, 1902. And according to the Dicastery for the Causes of Saints website, this professed priest of the Congregation of the Most Holy Redeemer, he was deeply convinced of his vocation to the consecrated life in the Alphonsian charism. He was always animated by an intense faith. In the exercise of his priestly ministry, he did his utmost to bring the people closer to the Lord, dedicating himself in particular to the assiduous exercise of the sacrament of confession. And that is now Venerable Giuseppe Maria Leoni. With one miracle, he will be declared Blessed Giuseppe. And let's look at the might-be saint of the day for today, January 18th. We've got a feast day for Blessed Regina Protmann, who lived from 1552 to 1613 in what is now modern-day Poland. So she was born in 1552 in Braunschweig in Prussia, which is now modern-day Poland. And she was born in a wealthy family. At age 19, she gave it all up to live in a community with like-minded friends and work with the sick and the poor. This was the foundation of the Sisters of St. Catherine, Virgin and Martyr, which expanded its mission to educating the young. The sisters continue their work today with 120 communities in Europe, Africa, and South America. She died on January 18, 1613, in Prussia, in modern-day Poland, of natural causes. And she was declared venerable on December 17, 1996, by Pope John Paul II, and beatified by the same pope 3 years later, June 13, 1999. And her beatification miracle was one that took place in Brazil. And that is Blessed Regina Protmann from Prussia, modern-day Poland. With one miracle, she will be declared Saint Regina. And if we look at They Might Be Saints, we talk about those Americans on the path to sainthood. You can buy the book, They Might Be Saints, which is available at EWTNRC.com, a religious catalog. I think it's my best book. Or you can watch the show, which airs every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Eastern Time. And so this coming Wednesday, on the 22nd, we're going to be doing the episode related to Bishop Frederick Berga. And as we talked about earlier in the show today, he trekked across Michigan's wilderness and got himself the nickname the Snowshoe Priest, and his heroic virtue brought the gospel to Native Americans and immigrant miners that may earn him sainthood someday. And so that'll be They Might Be Saints coming up on January 22nd at 9 a.m. Eastern Time. We need to take a short break, but when we come back, we're going to be talking with Lenora McKean, the executive director of the Bishop Berga Association, about the great future saint, Bishop Frederick Berga. Stay with us for that.
Now, back to the Miracle Hunter on EWTN. Here's Michael O'Neill.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Miracle Hunter radio show on EWTN Radio. This is Michael O'Neill. I'm the Miracle Hunter. One of the great benefits of this job, anyway, especially working on this program, They Might Be Saints, where we feature Americans on the path to sainthood, is I get to find out about some of these incredible Americans who have inspired us to the point that they're being considered for sainthood. These holy men and women who perhaps have miracles through their intercession, but have lived lives of heroic virtue as recognized by Rome. And I wrote a book called They Might Be Saints, and there's something like 24 or 26 now since the publication of that book of people who are venerables or blesseds, and before they have all their miracles and are declared saints by Rome. And I've gotten the great privilege of getting to know these saints on almost a personal level. They become personal intercessors for me. And one of my all-time favorites is Bishop Frederick Barriga. And, you know, I try to evangelize through miracles. And every time I take an Uber ride, I'm always just letting them know what I do, or meeting people out and about. I let people know what I do, just to, a chance to evangelize through this strange job that I have. But Bishop Frederick Barriga is, for me, perhaps the greatest example of evangelization and sacrifice that we know. And he's known as the snowshoe priest because he traveled about in the snow and served the Native Americans and the miners, got up so early and ate just one potato a day and just brought the gospel to those who needed it. And so every time I think I need some inspiration, I'm always praying to Bishop Frederick Barriga because of his great inspiration. We hope that there was a miracle that's recognized through his intercession so that he might bump up to the next level of from venerable to saint, to blessed, and then to saint. Well, we're so grateful to be joined today by Lenora McKean. She's the executive director of the Bishop Barriga Association, and we're excited to have her back to talk about Bishop Frederick Barriga. Welcome back to the show, Len.
Michael?
Yes. Welcome back to the show today, Len.
Thank you.
It's great to have you back. And this is, for Bishop Frederick Barriga, we see somebody who, for me personally, getting to know his life has been a great inspiration. But I think that still people need to get to know who this figure was. Tell us a little bit about how it all began. How did Bishop Barriga end up in the United States?
So this is a person who in his young days was actually in law school. He was studying to be a lawyer, but knew that he had been, was being called for something more at a very early age. And so after finishing his law degree, he entered the seminary. And he ended up, they expedited, fast-tracked him. He only spent 2 years in the seminary because of his law degree, and he was ordained a priest. Born in Slovenia, so initially he began ministering for about 7 years in the Slovenia, Yugoslavia at that time, because he was born in 1797. And it was during that time that Bishop Fenwick had issued a plea that they needed priests. That the Native Americans were asking for black robes to come and minister and teach them the faith. At that time, Father Barriga responded to that call, and as is typical because of the communication challenges back in those days, it took quite a while for him to hear back from Bishop Fenwick, and at one point he had given up and thought perhaps he really wasn't supposed to be coming to America, but he was... the response came, and he arrived in America on December 31st of 1830. And he'd spend the next 38 years of his life ministering to primarily the Native Americans, but to the miners and the settlers and, frankly, anybody he came into contact with. And he had a gift. He was a linguist. By the time of his death, he was fluent in 8 languages. He believed that you needed to learn the language of the people you were ministering to, and that they should not have to assimilate to your language and your ways. And so he really took up for the Native Americans. He became a great advocate. He wrote their language. I mean, it was their language, but he wrote it so that they could teach it to others. Their children could learn to read and write it. And it was impactful for the 17 seminarians that followed behind him. For them to learn the language and be able to communicate with them in their native tongue, which was critical to Father Barriga, that could be occurring in their native language. But he ministered all throughout the Great Lakes region and settled in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, where, of course, as I'm sure many of your listeners know, we tend to get an abundance of snow, and our winters are much longer than our summers are. And so he became known as the snowshoe priest because there was never any distance too great for him to travel, regardless of the elements. And so many times, I think us mere mortals would have perished. But by the grace of God, he survived all the challenges and tribulations that he faced, bringing the word of God to the people of the land.
Amazing. And what is the legacy of Bishop Barriga for the growth of the diocese and beyond the inspiration that he's left for us?
Well, I think one of his greatest legacies is, I think he's an anchor of hope. And, you know, for the longest time, I had shared with our bishop that he's a great anchor of hope for the lay people. But I also think he's a wonderful anchor of hope for our women religious and our priests. There were a lot of challenges. He fought against Jansenism. He fought against a lot of things that could have really impacted his dedication to the faith. And even when it was difficult, he did the right thing. And I think sometimes we are faced with challenges that it almost seems like it's just too difficult to do the right thing, and it's a little easier to give in. And he can be a great inspiration and role model to us of how we can navigate the challenges that we encounter with grace and dignity and still remain true to our faith.
Yeah, amazing. We're talking today with Lenora McKean, the executive director of the Bishop Berger Association. And I know, Len, we've talked in the past that Bishop Berger, of course, has advanced along the path to sainthood here, starting off as a servant of God. When his life of heroic virtue was validated, recognized by Rome, he became a venerable, and now he's onto the stage of needing a miracle to bump up to blessed and to saint. And, of course, that'll be a big event when that happens. Perhaps it'll be in Michigan where they hold the beatification. That's to be determined, of course. But what is the status right now of a miracle that could be attributed to Bishop Berger?
So, as you said, he was declared venerable in 2012. And so the next step in the canonization process to move from that stage to beatified or blessed is a potential cure has to be attributed to their intercession. And of course, we're not praying to the saints to solve our problems, right? We're asking them to be a conduit. We believe that they're in heaven with Jesus, and they're the captive audience, right? So they can take that message directly to him. And so in order for a potential cure to be validated, it has to be immediate, it has to be lasting, and it has to be absent of medical intervention. So the one thing in those three elements that is required is it has to be lasting. So there's time requirements. If it's a cure of cancer, it would need to at least be 10 years because otherwise it could be considered remission. If it's a cure of like illness, blindness, hearing impairment, it could subside at 5 years. So we have one of those cases that we've fully vetted. We have it all put together in what they call like a summary, if you will, summarium, that will go to two medical experts. And the two medical experts, as long as one or both, we prefer both, review it favorably, it will go to the full medical commission for review. And once the full medical commission reviews it and accepts it, it goes on then to the theological commission. And so at this point, we have that completed, and we are waiting for the review by the medical experts and the medical commission. And we are hopeful. Pope Francis launched the Jubilee year, 2025, Pilgrims of Hope, and I believe that 2025 is a year of hope for us. Huh. And I think that Bishop Berger can be a great beacon for us for this year, but perhaps our number will come up and perhaps that case will be reviewed. We don't ever know. We know minutes before we're able to share it that it's been reviewed, but listeners can rest assured that as soon as we hear anything, we will be shouting from the rooftops. And I frequently remind people, Bishop Berger has done all the work he needs to do to be canonized. We truly believe that he's a saint. We're waiting for the church to recognize that. And so now it comes to us. It's about us deepening in our faith. It's about us praying for this saintly man and for all. That's one of our obligations, is to pray for the deceased. And I think now it's resting on us for us to prepare and help him move to the next step.
Wonderful. We've been talking today with Lenora McKean from the Bishop Berger Association about the incredible life of Venerable Bishop Frederick Berger. And you mentioned 2025 is a big year. It is for our entire church. It's a jubilee year. And who knows what the future holds for the recognition of Bishop Berger as a blessed. Perhaps it could be this year or in a future year. But how are people who are connected with your Bishop Berger Association and otherwise celebrating the jubilee with its connection to Bishop Berger?
Well, of course, the whole Diocese of the UP is collaborating with Pope Francis, and there are several pilgrimage sites for people to visit and churches that are recognized to be able to participate in those pilgrimages. The Bishop Barrica Association also wanted to encourage people on a more local front, so that people realize that this is a request, a call to action for all of us to put our faith into movement. And so we've launched the Bishop Frederick Barrica edition of this Pilgrimage Year of Hope. And so we have a passport that will soon be on our website, and we're asking people to pray the novena every month. We're asking for people to read about Bishop Barrica, either a book he wrote or written by him. And we will have three pilgrimages this summer that will be in collaboration with the diocese, but offer an opportunity for the adoration, the confession, the communion, and those plenary indulgences that we can receive, as Pope Francis put out. But what we really want it to do is we want it to be brought home, right, that this is not something that's for everybody other than us to participate in. And what we also want is we want this to be really a daily, but, you know, every month we're asking for them to do something because we want to put our faith in action.
Wonderful. Well, we're so grateful to you, Lenora McKean, for joining us today to talk to us about the incredible life of Bishop Frederick Barrica and your good work to promote his cause and give people opportunities to connect with him in various ways. You've got the third annual Snowshoe Walk coming up, and also this Barrica edition of the Pilgrimage of Hope for this Jubilee year. Where can people go to find out more information about Bishop Barrica and some of these events that are coming up?
They can go to our website, which is bishopberica.org, and they will find all the information there. They can also follow us on Facebook at Bishop Barrica Association, and we are constantly updating and putting things out. We are launching a newsletter that is an e-newsletter only sent by email, so people can contact us through our website if they'd like to receive that. And we just want people to be involved.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Lenora McKean, for joining us on today's program, and we'll continue our prayers for the beatification of the great future saint, Bishop Frederick Barrica. Thanks so much for being with us on our show today.
Thank you, Michael.
God bless, and that's all the time we have for today's show. If you missed any of this episode or want to catch up on past episodes, you can go to ewtn.com/radio, check out the audio archives, or download the free EWTN app. I'd like to thank our guest today, Philip Kozlowski from Voyage Comics, talking to us about his new series on Marian apparitions, and also Lenora McKean, the executive director of the Bishop Barrica Association. Check out my series, Explore with the Miracle Hunter. The next episode is in New Orleans, where on Saturday, January 25th at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, we look at Our Lady of Prompt Succor, who has inspired Catholics during the darkest periods in New Orleans history, including a disastrous fire and a British attack during the War of 1812. I'll be investigating that one. And I'd like to thank you for joining me today on Miracle Hunter, where from claims of healings and visions to the world's most inexplicable events, whether you're a believer or a skeptic, the truth is always worth the hunt. Talk to you next week.